Blog Talk Radio. What did I do wrong? What did I do? I just want someone to love me because I love her.
Hello, everyone, and good evening, and welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carried for Animals, number 249 shows and counting. And that is great for the animals because we're not going to stop. My name is Debbie Dahmer, and I am the producer and host for Voices Carried for Animals. And I want to welcome everybody aboard, all you new listeners. I hope you keep coming back and do your part and help the animals out, because every effort counts out there. This show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online, and that's Marty Oakley, TS Radio Network. If you visit it, you can follow on the right-hand column, and every time there's a new podcast coming up or a news article, it will alert you in your primary email. And that's on the right-hand column. And at the bottom of the articles, you can also share to other social media sites 24/7. And also on Blog Talk Radio, that will alert you also when there's a live podcast coming on Voices Carried for Animals. And that's www.blogtalkradio.com/ Voices Carried for Animals. There was 163 shows on Marty Oakley TS Radio. I did with her. I was her host for several years. And then I started on my own with great help from Marty Oakley. A big shout out to her for all she's doing. She's got some hot topics, everyone. And if you want to follow her, just go to blogtalkradio.com. And just search TS Radio Network or Marty Oakley and press follow, because she's got some great shows and some hot topics going on. And so does the PPJ Gazette Online, something that we should open our eyes to and our ears and open our mouths, because everything, you know, the environment, the humans and the animals is so very important. And we have a lot of issues out there that need to get resolved and put, because it's, we keep going year after year, and there's a lot of these problems that still roll over and they need the attention, because the animals, the elderly and the children, they are voiceless and helpless, defenseless and innocent. So the more of us to come together and do our part and stand up for them, speak out for them, and contact our legislators, because that they're important too. And we can, be professional and polite. And that I'm going to give that number out. It's area code 202-224-3121. And I'll repeat that, area code 224-3121. It's going to ask you for your zip code. And then you ask us connect with either your senator or your representative. And this, you can either email them, you can call them, make an appointment, do a letter, fax them, anything to reach out, because our voices are our votes. So we want to make sure that there's positive changes made from every angle. And I want to go ahead and reintroduce my guest, that she's coming back, and she's always welcome back here. She does an awesome and great interview. She does a lot of inspiring work out there. She's an award-winning investigative journalist writing about animals. Her name is Watchdog Mary, aka Mary Swagger. And I hope, you know, that everyone enjoys the show, which I know you will. Our topic is going to be how to check your local animal shelter and get involved, because that's very important out there, everyone. But I want to bring her on board. I will be taking calls later in the show. And if you wanted to mark this number down, area code 310-982-4270. Press 1, and I will let you in. Try to refrain from any noises in the background, TVs, radios, conversations, and you're more than welcome to come on board. And I want to welcome her. Hello, Watchdog Mary. This is Pitbull
Debbie.
Hey,
Debbie, how are
you
doing? Thanks for having me.
Hey, anytime. You know that. It's always an honor and a pleasure to have you back on. And, you know, because you give great interviews like all my guests do. And I just don't have
you
them one time and say goodbye. I like to keep in contact with them and, you know, do what we can do.
Well,
to
I appreciate
get,
you
know,
having
progress.
Back.
I'm sorry.
I don't have an answer.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
There's something else I can
do. So I feel sometimes. Not compute.
But it's always, you know, all the work you do so inspiring, and everyone out there, Watchdog Mary, she's an investigative journalist with more than 20 years experience. TV and print journalists now watchdogging for animals. Honored to have won 16 Emmy, 8 Edward R. Murrow, and Associated Press Awards for investigative reporting and writing. Congratulations there, Watchdog Mary. This is awesome.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yep. So you want to go ahead and refresh the audience on how you got started, and we'll go right into the shelters that need attention and everything. So remember, everybody, adopt, don't
sure.
shop, and you know, spay and neuter your pets. And we gotta, you know, nip this problems in the butt. You know, just come on and do more and whatever it takes in 2020, right, Mary? You gotta keep going.
Exactly. Well, how I got into writing about animals is years ago. A bunch of people contacted me, actually. I had a national consumer column, and I did investigative and consumer reporting for print and also in TV. And people in San Antonio, Texas, reached out to me and said, hey, you really need to check out the local shelter down here. They're euthanizing a lot of animals, and some questionable stuff is going on. And so I started taking a look into this shelter, and they were right. There was a lot of animals being euthanized, and there was some questionable stuff going on. And I'd write a story or two about that shelter, and then someone else would email or message me and say, you should check out this shelter. And the ball started rolling from there, and a lot of people had a lot of great points. There's a lot of shelters that needed to be checked out, and there's a lot of animals at risk. And that's how I started, and I've come to the conclusion that the best thing you can do if you care about animals is to figure out what your local community shelter, how it's doing, how they handle animal control. You hear every year millions of dogs and cats are euthanized in shelters, and you see the sad commercials on TV with the Sarah McLachlan songs, and it gets at your heartstrings. But how many of you out there know how many dogs and cats are killed by your local animal control agencies every year in your local shelters? It might be none, it might be thousands, but until you start asking questions, you just don't know. And it's so important to find out what goes on in your community, because if you look, and I'm going to explain to you how you can do that, how you can kind of become your own pet detective. But unless you go look, you may have no idea there's a problem. And most of the time, the greatest changes I've seen is when people in their local communities identify a problem, and then they raise hell about the problem. They go to the local town or city council meetings. They speak to their mayor. They speak to the town or city manager. They speak to the animal control officer or the agency, and that is the greatest way to affect change, is on the local level. Even me writing an article about a shelter that was thousands of miles away. You know, it was good, but the most powerful thing is when people stand before their local leaders and demand change. I've seen it get to the point where people have gone out and protested, where they've called the local news media and had them do stories. And it's just so powerful. And so I'm going to talk to you a bit tonight about how you can become your own pet detective and how you can investigate your local shelter and why you should. And so I had asked before, how many of you know what goes on in your community's animal shelter? Do you know how many dogs and cats are adopted each year, returned to their owners, euthanized? Do you know what the conditions are like? It's something very important to find out, because if you don't inquire, if you don't visit, you may have no idea if there's a problem, and you may have no idea if they're doing a great job. Most of you, where you live, there's some sort of governmental organization or agency that will pick up stray dogs and cats and deal with them. They're usually called animal control. Sometimes they're run on a municipal level. Sometimes they're on a county level. And that's the agency that's responsible for taking the owner surrenders for people who don't want their pets anymore. They're responsible for picking up, as I mentioned, the stray dogs and cats and any unwanted or dogs and cats that get hit by a car, you know, show up in the neighbor's yard, that kind of thing. And most communities have what's called a stray hold. And after a certain amount of time, in some cities that's like 48 to 72 hours, in some states it's up to 7 or 10 days. So it really varies. But that's the amount of time the owner has to come and pick up their pet. And if they don't, at the end of the stray hold period, the ownership of that animal reverts to the animal control agency. And at that point, as the owner, the animal control agency decides the fate of that animal. So they decide, okay, are we going to put this dog or cat up for adoption? Are we going to euthanize them? Is there a rescue group that can take them? Or does the local shelter have a foster program that perhaps a foster would be able to take the animal? So that's all the decisions that they have to make. And some shelters do an absolutely amazing job where they adopt out all the dogs and cats they can. They have foster programs with the community. They get on social media and websites and on local types of pages, and they advertise the dogs and cats that need homes, and they do an amazing job. And then there's other shelters that practice what's kind of called catch and kill animal control. And what that means is once that dog or cat comes in, that poor animal goes into like a black hole, and the local shelter doesn't advertise the fact the dog or cat is there. So an owner may have no idea that's where the animal went. And at the end of the stray hold period, they might just decide, hey, we're just going to euthanize this dog. I don't want to go to the effort of trying to market this dog for adoption or work with people or have people come in here. And there's a lot of kind of secret shelters that practice that kind of animal control. And unless you know what goes on in your local community, your shelter could be one of them. And I know that's absolutely horrifying to a lot of people. I mean, I get many emails and messages every week from people concerned their local shelter is keeping animals in horrendous conditions or euthanizing too many of them. So we're going to talk about how you can kind of start to investigate your local shelter and see what's going on. So first of all, you want to expose what's going on. You've got to prove it. And I suggest you start with what's called a public records request. Every state has different laws. They're usually called public records laws or even sunshine laws. And Debbie, I just heard my phone say battery low, which is weird. So hang on, I'm just going to change a Bluetooth device. Bear with me for one
yes,
moment.
Yes, go right
there.
Ahead.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yes, girl, you're fine.
Okay, perfect.
Definitely.
Okay, technical difficulties. Okay, I'm back. So usually what you're going to want to do is start with a public records request. And hold on one second. I just want to get this off so you don't hear that clicking. Okay, I think that's gone. Perfect. You're going to start with a public records request. And it's you know, every law, every state has its own laws about this. And you don't need to be an attorney. You don't need to be a journalist. You don't have to, you know, be anyone special. Every single citizen has the right to make a public records request. And they don't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be written in like a legal memo kind of way. And these days you can also just email them in to the city, the town, or the county. And you basically just want to ask them for how many animals they took in, you know, for the last couple of years. And then of that animal, of that list, how many animals are adopted or rescued? How many went to foster homes? How many were euthanized and why? How many were returned to owner? And so once you get that information back, and you have every right to ask for that information because these are taxpayer-funded organizations, so you have every right to that information. Don't let some town official tell you that you don't, because that is wrong. You can email me, and I have information on my website about how to do this. Sometimes you will get the runaround from county or town officials, and that happens, but you know, you can set them straight that you have absolutely every right to ask for this kind of information. And they might write you back like from the city or the county attorney and make it sound scary, but it's not. Anyone can make one of these requests. And so once you get the numbers back, you know, take a look at them. And if you see roughly, there's something called the no-kill animal control. And if you see more than 90-95% of the animals are not being saved or returned to their owner, if 90-95% of the animals are not walking out the front door of that shelter, there might be an issue. And if you see that the shelter is euthanizing almost every animal that isn't claimed by his or her owner, if you see a lot of animals being put to sleep, you want to start asking questions. So that's basically the first kind of step that you want to take to kind of get a good statistical analysis of what's going on in your local community. Debbie, can you still hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Very good. Okay. It's coming in very perfect, clear.
Perfect. And during the call-in portion, if anybody has a question about this and how to do it or how to make a public records request, you know, feel free to call in, and you can even email me after the show. My website is watchdogmary.com, and I have a page dedicated to how to investigate your local shelter and why you should. So that's the first kind of step. You know, the other things that you can do is just go on down, pay them a visit, see if they let you in. Say, hey, I'd like to see the dogs and cats that you have up for adoption. How does it work here? You know, and see if they let you in to see the animals and ask them, you know, how do you handle adoptions? How do you handle strays? If a stray dog comes in, what do you do to try to find the owner? And some of the very proactive shelters do things like the moment a stray animal comes in, and they take a picture of the dog or cat, they post it on the town's Facebook group, they post it on social media, they post it on neighborhood sites. You know, they start to try to get the word out there. They'll scan them for a microchip. They'll look for tags. You know, you're going to want to see and ask them step by step, what are they doing? You know, if they just throw the dog in the clink and close the door and wait 72 hours and don't do anything, that's just not right. And you don't want to settle for that. And one of the other important reasons that animal shelters should advertise the dogs and cats that come into the shelter is dogs and cats don't know town lines. They don't know the boundaries of the county that they're in. And sometimes they might wander over to the county next door, or maybe they get loose when they're visiting a friend of yours. And so it's really important, because your dog or cat might get lost in one city or county and might turn up a city or county over. So it's really important that the pictures get posted, the word gets out, and that people can have a good basis of which to look for their lost or found cat or dog. And if you ever lose your own cat or dog, don't only call the animal control agency and, you know, that is in your city, county, or town. Make sure you start calling the animal control agencies in the surrounding areas. It's really important. You know, sometimes people will pick up the stray animal in their car and then drop them off someplace, which isn't exactly helpful, but you know, you don't want that to be your dog or cat that is in a bad animal control facility and at risk just because you didn't look in the right shelter. And the variances of these animal control facilities literally can vary from town to town and county by county. You can have one that does a great job, and then the one right next door to it could do a horrible job. So you definitely want to keep your eyes open if you ever lose your dog or cat. But go on down to your local shelter and talk to them about how their program works. And if they say to you something like, you know, we'd really love to post the dogs or cats, you know, for adoption, or that we found them on social media and our website, but we just don't have the time to do that. You know, we just have one animal control officer. He or she only works part-time. We can barely keep up with it. Then what a lot of people do and a lot of communities have done is they've offered to get volunteers to help. And that is one of the biggest, you know, hopes a local animal control facility can have, is good volunteers. You know, rescue organizations need them, and so do shelters. And you can help round up people to take pictures of the animals, you know, start a Facebook page, post them online. You know, once you have the picture, even if the animal control officer can take a picture of the animal, you can have a posting network from anywhere in the world. You know, if you live in New York City and you want to help out a shelter in the middle of South Carolina, you can do it. You just need a computer and an internet connection, or a phone, and an ability to just get pictures and then post them on websites. So you can, you know, post for volunteers. And, you know, you can be very honest. You know, I want to help my local shelter. They don't have enough people to post the dogs and cats for adoption. You know, you can help start, you know, pet finder pages and adopt a pet pages, and, you know, the types of websites that are, you know, that people go to look for lost and found animals and also to adopt. And so that might just be, you know, completely invaluable to a local animal control agency, is to have that kind of volunteer help. Now, let's say that you go down to your local shelter and you see a problem. Maybe you see animals are being kept in dirty conditions. Maybe the cages are too small. Maybe the dogs and cats look malnourished. Having visual confirmation of this is just invaluable. And the more pictures and the more video, the better. You know, just bring your smartphone with you. You know, take pictures, take video. If you can document the conditions for a couple of days, maybe go down a couple days during the week just to show this is happening on different days. Stuff like that, having that kind of ammo, that kind of evidence, can be very important if you want to prove something is going on. And, you know, the first thing you want to do if you do have some questionable pictures is, you know, definitely go to local leaders and say, I went down to the shelter on these dates and, you know, this is what I saw. And, you know, see what their reaction is. And, you know, you might get the same kind of thing, the same kind of excuse, like, we don't have enough people. And that's, again, when you can say, you know, I want to get involved from the local level. I want the rest of the community to know that the shelter needs help. You can make it very proactive and very positive, you know, and say, I'd like to start some volunteers to come down here. You know, we'll get people assigned to come on, you know, on a daily regimen to clean out the kennels, to walk the animals, to feed them, you know, to post them for adoption, that kind of thing. So if you can kind of win them over and you can say, look, I don't like what I'm seeing and I think this needs to change, you know, that definitely can be a great way to, you know, start things. If you get resistance, if they say, you know, get out of here, which I've definitely have had many people message and email me over the past several years saying, you know, I went down to my local shelter like you said I should, and it was kind of horrible. And then when I brought it up, the animal control officer told me never to come back. So if something like that happens, then what I would suggest you do is that you expose that kind of evidence. You know, you might want to call, you know, a local reporter who you respect, maybe at a TV station, at a newspaper, and tell them what's going on and say, you know, I took these pictures and video, here's what they show, and they can start their own investigation. Like, once you've got the evidence, you know, make it known, you know, go to the media, pound on the door of every reporter, call every media outlet, you know, in the area. If you've got a favorite investigative reporter, you can try contacting them first. Tell them that, you know, you're giving this to them exclusively, that you have pictures and video documentation, that could generate more interest. You know, you might also, if you don't kind of get action from just trying to go chat with the animal control officer or maybe even the mayor, is make a stink to the municipal or county officials. You know, take your documentation to public hearings. Show the officials in charge what's going on. You know, bring all the evidence. You know, sometimes people on a town or a city council may have no idea what's going on. And I've seen plenty of people just post this kind of stuff on social media, and it's taken off like wildfire to kind of expose what's going on. And they'll say, here's what I found in my local shelter. And the next thing you know, people are sharing that left and right, and people are bombarding the local city or the county with calls, and then it gets the attention of local media. But, you know, sometimes those things, and I know the cities and the counties hate it, and they're cringing even hearing this kind of talk, it really does kind of make change. And I've had people, I've seen posts on Facebook, and I've gotten involved in written stories. I've had people send me, you know, pictures and video of shelters that were, it was pretty bad. And you know, once everyone raises a stink, it really can create change. And, you know, so a lot of times good comes from the bad. But unless you know what's going on in your community, and once you know that there is a problem, that's the only way that you can make a dent in this problem. And like I said before, you know, you hear these statistics that just seem so far away. You know, every year millions of dogs and cats are killed in shelters. And you think, oh, well, that's horrible. But you have to ask yourself, how many does your local animal control agency euthanize every year? How many do they adopt out? How many go to rescue groups? How many go to foster homes? That is just so critical, because right where you live is where you can make the biggest difference locally. You know, you can sign all the petitions in the world for change for here or there, but you really need to get at it locally. And then you also have to remember to stick to the facts. So as you are doing this in your local community, you know, if you have a long-standing feud with the shelter director or animal control officer, you know, don't get into old battles in your documentation. Stick to the facts. You know, even if that person, you know, got an OUI or stole your spouse or was once arrested for shoplifting or has a grudge against you for whatever reason, don't bring that up. You don't want anyone to question your motives. You know, write out and document what's been happening in the shelter in a chronological, clear, and concise way. I mean, the exception to that, of course, is if the head of the shelter, let's say, was fired and his or her last job for mistreating animals or has been convicted of animal abuse or neglect and you can prove it, then obviously that's a different situation. You know, you just want to stick to the facts and stick to the animals. And Debbie, you have any questions so far?
No, it's all the information you're giving, Watchdog Mary, is very informative, and you know, the awareness, the prevention and everything. So, you know, it's so important where, you know, with our animal shelters that's around us, everyone, you know, go visit, because we are the animals' voices and we got to be heard. If there's something wrong, we have to report it, because if not, the problem's just going to get worse and worse. And we don't want that to happen. We want them, you know, to live comfortably. It's very stressful in a shelter for them. You know, they don't get to move around and, you know, have that much space and everything. So whatever you can do, you know, spend some time with the animals, you know, volunteer, go and take them walks, you know, just whatever helps them out, makes their lives better. And to, you know, help on social media. I know I see a lot going through newsfeed, you know, animals up for adoption or to be rescued. And these cross posters are relentless. They are always, you know, going for it. And a big shout out to all of them that's helping saving lives, because they're not getting paid for none of this. It's out of their heart and meaningful time. So whatever, you know, everyone out there, I wish there was more adoption events out there. I mean, I don't know, really know the figures, but out that needed more of them. No cost spay and neuter. Events that, you know, big, like, let's say a fair or a community get-together, you know, the volunteers to help to get these animals adopted. The volunteers in there, you know, put them in, you know, like you said, Mary, earlier, you know, join a group and have your own, you know, to help these animals to safety and live, knowing they got a chance going into a TLC home. And now everybody out there, you know, just search on your yellow pages or on the internet, you know, your local animal shelters and see what you can do to help out, because these animals can't do it for themselves. They need us from every angle. Right, Watchdog Mary, they need us. There's no...
Exactly.
I mean, it's not like they can get on this radio and ask for help to, you know, someone to adopt them or anything. So do your part, you know, help them out.
Exactly. And then if anybody, is this the time also people can call in? So if anybody wants to call in, if they have any questions or comments, this is when we're going to open the phone lines too. I mean, if anybody's hearing this and wants to talk about, you know, what they've seen, what's going on in their local shelter or for advice, you know, feel free to call in. What's the number again, Debbie?
Yes. Okay. Anybody wants to call in, to area code 310-982-4270. Press 1 and I'll let you in, and I'll repeat that. Area code 310-982-4270. Press 1 and I'll let you in. Just remember, that's the same number every Thursday, live podcast. So you can just store it, or you can even Skype in, but that's the number to call in. So if anybody wants any questions or comments for Watchdog Mary, you're more than welcome to ask them. Just asking to be professional and polite and everything on every show that I have, because I had a couple of them that, you know, really, they was very rude. So I'm not right, Mary. I mean, I think it was 1 year, but the caller.
Always a wacko out there. I guess.
Yeah, we can't run from them.
Yeah, especially when they call you.
Exactly.
Oh. Yeah. Hopefully, we won't get any of those tonight. You know, Debbie, you mentioned. Go ahead.
No, you go right ahead.
You mentioned social media, and I cannot tell you how valuable I've seen social media be to save animals at risk. I mean, you have people that find animals in need. You have people that go and take pictures of them in the shelters. You know, I've seen people go to, you know, the kill pens at horse auctions and say, you know, literally, and this is true, you know, this horse is about to be sold and, you know, slaughtered for horse meat. You know, can anyone help this horse? And people have gone and helped the horse. So, I mean, it's just amazing, you know, what, you know, social media can do and how many animals these posts and people sharing them have helped save. I mean, rescue groups, I volunteer in animal rescue, and I work with a lot of animal rescue groups and shelters, and I write countless articles about them, and I consult and chat with them about a million issues. This is the main way they see animals in need as well. You know, someone will make a post like, you know, this dog has a broken leg and got hit by a car, and he's at such and such animal control shelter. Can anyone save him? And, you know, multiple people and rescues will inquire in a lot of situations. And the next day, the animal's out of the shelter. But if someone did not put up that social media post, nobody would have known about that. So it's so key. And it's so key that people go in and volunteer at their local shelters. And, you know, if you see a, you know, post all the animals. And, you know, make sure, you know, there was a woman, you know, we're talking years ago now at this point, And she came to me and said, you know, there's a big problem in South Texas. You know, there's all these shelters that no one knows about, and all these dogs are getting killed, and I didn't even know about some of these shelters. And I said, you know what? Make a social media page for each shelter, make a Facebook page, and have people go in and take pictures of the animals. And, you know, as you always say, give them a voice and put them on social media and say, here's this dog. He's a very nice German shepherd. You know, he seems very friendly and he's good with other dogs. And put that on social media and say he's at risk of being euthanized in 72 hours at this shelter. And that woman started those pages. And they probably save now, you know, I would say 80 to 90% of the animals that come through those shelters now, where before, I don't even want to think about how many were saved. I think that those shelters, some of them were practicing the catch and kill animal control that I mentioned. But that is all because someone cared. Someone went into the local shelter to see what was going on. They didn't have a medium to advertise and market the dogs and cats in there. So she made one, and it worked. I mean, they have Facebook pages now with thousands, tens of thousands of followers and shelters and you know, rescue groups and, you know, shelters that are, you know, usually nonprofit shelters, you know, like a Austin Pets Alive that will, you know, pull dogs and cats from other municipal shelters to save them. But they'll have, you know, nonprofit shelters like that and rescue groups who save animals from those municipal shelters now. So, I mean, just one person who asks questions and creates Facebook pages can save tens of thousands of animals. I mean, it literally adds up. So don't think, oh, it's just me. How am I going to take on the town? How am I going to take on the county? You know, get out there and tell people what's going on, and you will be surprised how quickly you will have support. You know, even if some local official is trying to intimidate you or says, get lost, or you don't want to do that, or you know, if they're grumpy, who cares? You know, persevere through that. You know, you just have to have the gumption to do it, and the support will follow, because I think a lot more people care about animals than they don't care about animals. And so social media is just such a fantastic way to get the word out. I've also had, you know, some of the craziest situations and stories that I've covered come from social media posts or from people messaging me, you know, social media posts. It was in Kennedy, Texas, oh, probably 5 or 6 years ago, someone messaged me, just a local person's Facebook post, who was concerned about their local shelter. And so they went down there, and it was just kind of an open fenced-in kennel. So they just walked right up, and they looked in the kennels. And this is really haunting and disturbing, but there were dead dogs in the kennels with live dogs. And they thought, oh, this clearly is so wrong. So they just, you know, posted it on their local, you know, Facebook page with their 300 friends and family members. That started to get shared. You know, someone sent it to me. I contacted the local officials down there. And, you know, in time, once everybody in the community knew there was a problem, and I wrote about it, and you can imagine, like wildfire, how much that post got shared locally, and I think even nationwide. You know, and all the backlash the local authorities got, that group, now there's a group down there now that came together, you know, in such support that I think they're close to trying to make that shelter no kill now. They have a system, they have volunteers that go in and help, but there was some backlash. The town was forced into change. And then when the town said to the people, well, we don't have the budget to change, they said, well, we will come in and we will do it ourselves. And like you mentioned earlier, you know, they're probably going to have to work for free, but they do it. You know, they get a group together, they switch off, they say, you go in and take pictures on Mondays, I'll take Wednesdays, you know. And if you want to, you know, as I mentioned before, you know, post the pictures on social media, you don't have to be local. You can just text those, email those, zap those to anybody in the world with an internet connection, and they can post them. You know, people, it doesn't matter where they are. So social media really is, as many horrible things are attributed to social media, there's really a lot of good it can do for the animals.
Yes, agreed. Totally. I mean, just pressing that share button, you know, the like button doesn't serve no justice, but that share goes into the news feed, you know, and I you know, see these cross posters from all over the place. I mean, everywhere. Watchdog Mary, where they're trying to save these animals, you know, and so it's working because you see, you know, you keep track of them and keep sharing, and you'll see, oh, either you're safe, you know, when you want, or adopted, rescued. That's the positive side. You know, we don't want to see put PTS or killed or, you know, euthanized. So it's giving these animals a voice, just the social media. I see it going through Twitter and Facebook and Pinterest. I mean, the social media sites I'm on, even LinkedIn, I see animals going through, which is great. So, you know, whatever you can do.
Oh, yeah,
everyone,
and adopters see it, you know, and it's great. I mean, you you know, I quite often see the stories, or the Dodo always features a lot of great stories about this, you know, where somebody, you know, saw a social media post and they jumped in their car and drove 800 miles to pick a dog or a cat up from a shelter, you know, and then drove back. I mean, it's those things where someone just falls in love with something, with the animal, their eyes or their look or their story, and it motivates people.
Yes, it does. And we got a caller on, we'll take some calls right now, Watchdog Mary.
Sure.
Area code 719, you're live and on the air. Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Care for Animals. Go right ahead. You comments or questions for Watchdog Mary?
I was going to make some funny comment to make you think it wasn't me, Deb.
Oh, you will never fool me, okay? I mean, hey, Watchdog Mary, she's a former guest several times. She, you know, stands up and speaks out for the stray cats. Isn't that awesome? So she gives us so good support and calls in, supports other animals.
I think you called the last time I was on, too, right?
I probably so.
We chatted before, right?
Yes, we did, Mary. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm well. It's good to speak with you again.
Yes.
I wanted to emphasize what you're saying about the shelters. A lot of these smaller towns don't have the budget, like you're saying. And, you know, most of them are run by older people. They don't have access to the internet or don't know much about the internet. And, you know, like you said, if somebody just goes in there, takes those pictures, makes those posts, even if they don't start a particular page, just putting them on their own personal Facebook page makes a huge difference.
Yes, any help, any visibility these animals can get, or else they're in a black hole.
Yeah, and we've got a shelter down in Canyon City, and they do police ride-alongs where the police department take dogs. Not every day, but, you know, a couple times a month they take a different dogs. They do ride-alongs, bring the dogs so they're being seen out in the public. You know, hearing about it and seeing them makes a huge difference, you know, because
people
all the time. And they also do walks through town, and they have little vests on them, adopt, don't shop. And it doesn't take a lot of effort to get those animals seen, you know.
Oh, yeah, I love it. I mean, just, you know, that's even better, is to actually meet the animal. I love hearing about different ideas rescue groups and shelters have to get the dogs out there and marketed and to meet people. And that sounds fantastic.
But, again, like you said, it all comes back to the volunteers. You know, if these shelters don't have people that are willing to come in and help and get these animals the exposure that they deserve, they're not going to be seen. I mean, you know, you see posts about dogs and cats every single day, But like you say, when you meet that animal, when you see him walking down the street or in a police car and, you know, you have contact with them, and they're real social with doing that. And I just love that idea.
Anything like that is just fantastic. And again, it just all comes down to what can you do and what's going on in your local community. And if you don't know tomorrow, start to find out, you know, make an appointment for yourself. Even if it's, you know, first of all, to go see if they have a website, or if you look on the town page or the county page, does Animal Control have a website? See if they have a Facebook page or a social media page. Kind of poke around that way. You can do it at work, you know, just kind of see what's out there. And then, you know, email the city or the county and see how they, you know, hey, how do we handle, you know, what happens if there's a stray dog or cat that's picked up? What's the system? You know, just find out what the system is. And then you can kind of start to evaluate how well it works or how well it isn't working and what needs to be done. And I have a whole page on my website called How to Investigate Your Local Shelter and Why You Should at watchdogmary.com. And it's a great kind of stepping point for people to start. And then if you have any questions, you can always feel free to email me. But, you know, as we're saying, it really just comes down to, you know, local volunteers taking the initiative. Even if you have a well-staffed shelter, they will always welcome volunteers.
And if a shelter doesn't accept volunteers, they're the ones you need to start investigating.
Oh, I can't tell you. You're so right. I can't tell you, you know, how many times I've gotten messages and emails from people that say, here's what's going on in this shelter. What do you think? And I'll say, well, where is this? And they'll say, I don't even want to tell you yet, because if they find out we're making problems, they're going to kick out all the volunteers. You know, and then
we
often have a discussion over, okay, is it worth, you know, taking the hit and exposing this and then, you know, making an uproar about it so things have to change? Or do you want to kind of try to work with that person? And there's a lot of it's tough. It's really, really tough.
It is. And weighing the option, the problem is that it's the animal that always pays the price. So if we don't stand up and make our voices heard, okay, I may not be able to go back as a volunteer because, well, I opened my mouth, but other people can, you know.
Yeah.
I worry about myself because I opened my mouth about a lot of things I probably shouldn't, but, you know, you have to do that because the animal pays the price.
Yes. And if people are afraid that it's going to come back to haunt you somehow, you know, there's a lot of ways that you can remain anonymous. You know, we hear all this stuff, you know, about whistleblowers recently. It's a topic that's been in the news a lot. But you can do this as an anonymous whistleblower. You know, you can give the information that you get, or the pictures or the video, or, you know, the statistics that you find to, let's say, a local reporter anonymously and say, here's what I found, you know, go look into this yourself. And if that local reporter is any good, you know, they'll make a public records request and see if they get the same information. You know, maybe they'll go down to the shelter undercover and get the same kind of video. So there's a lot of ways. If, you know, you're afraid of being a squeaky wheel, or for whatever reason you fear retribution, there's a lot of ways that you can do things anonymously, or, as you have mentioned, you know, give the information to another volunteer or another resident and have them be the one that makes a stink about it.
I don't mind being the one that raises a stink.
Somehow I had a feeling about you.
I there's a shelter, I won't mention a name right off the hand, but they make any volunteer sign a disclosure agreement.
A non-disclosure agreement.
You're not allowed to bring phones, cameras, recording devices. And when they do that, it automatically throws up every red flag, blue flag, green flag, because what are they worried? You know, And we've got a local shelter that is doing that. They're implementing that. And there's got to be a way to get around that. You know what I mean?
Well, I just raise awareness that that's happening in general. You know, that just, you know, get a talk to the local paper and say, get this. You know, the local shelter is making us sign non-disclosure agreements and say we can't bring in phones or any kind of recording devices or devices that can take pictures in the shelter. And, you know, I don't know if you've been in the shelter, but if there's something questionable going on, tell them what's going on. You know, I just signed this non-disclosure. I can't take pictures in there. They check to see if we have our phones. But let me tell you what I witnessed myself. So make us think about that, because as you said, if a shelter says, okay, you can be a volunteer here, but sign this non-disclosure agreement and you can't take your phones in with you, you're right. That's a huge red flag.
So they say that they can press charges against volunteers that if they discuss anything they witness or whatever while they're volunteering, that they can and will press charges. Now, is that something that would actually stand up in a court?
Do they mean criminal charges?
Oh, yep.
I don't think there's any criminal charges if you violate a non-disclosure agreement. Criminal charges? I mean, I'm not an attorney, but from what I understand, non-disclosure agreements are usually a civil contract. And so if somebody's an attorney and has a question about, they can, you know, definitely call in. But I would ask them what kind of charges they would press.
Yeah. It just, you know, it's a mess, you know. And like I was saying, anytime you have to sign a non-disclosure for anything going into a shelter, you know, before you even do it, you know there's issues.
Yeah, I mean, do they send you just a blank copy of the non-disclosure agreement?
No, you sign it when you go in.
Do you get a copy of what you've signed?
I've never gotten a copy, no.
Well, if you sign an agreement, you should always get a copy of what you've signed. So, you know, everyone should ask for a copy of the agreement that they've signed and take a look at it. And I'd be interested in taking a look at it. But, you know, get a copy, redact out your name, and send it to a local newspaper or television reporter and say, hey, you know, the shelter's making us sign NDAs before we go in. You know, take out all your information. But they should, you know, if you sign an agreement, you are absolutely entitled to a copy of any agreement you sign. If they want to consider that a legal document, that's nuts.
I'll have to see if I can get a copy of it next time I go in there.
Yeah. I mean, or else have somebody ask for a blank copy of it.
Oh, I doubt they would ever give me that.
I mean, are there questionable things that go on in the shelter?
Yes. They've recently started their socially conscious sheltering. We were no kill, but you know, anytime you make it no kill, you can rearrange those numbers to make it say anything you want. You can ship animals here to there, and you know the deal.
Yeah,
they've taken over this socially conscious sheltering, which to me, you know, you bring in a feral cat. Feral cats are not adoptable. So automatically that animal can be put to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
A dog that's running loose on the street, lost his home. He's scared to death. He's going to cower in a corner. That animal can be put to sleep because they show aggression. That's aggression if they hide in the And it's, I don't like this new socially conscious sheltering. There's too many ways they can get around it. And this shelter is pretty big on euthanizing perfectly healthy adoptable animals, and
I've written there is a big issue, probably still is. I mean, as you mentioned, the trying to figure out the fact of an animal who's just scared because they're in a loud animal control agency with dogs barking and people, and it echoes and it reverberates around, and that's scary. I mean, I can't imagine my own animals being in a shelter. They'd flip out. But a lot of times, once people get them outside, and I've done many stories about San Antonio Animal Care Services where they had, put big signs over a dog's kennel that says, aggressive, don't go near. And there's one very brave volunteer, Jen White, who was famous for going down and opening the kennel doors of the dogs marked aggressive and bringing them outside the kennel and to a play yard and saying, look, here's this big, mean, aggressive dog. And, the dog's licking her face. And so if you can get documentation like that, like this shelter, euthanized 20 dogs, they deemed them the aggressive, but let me show you, the aggression, let me show you how aggressive they were. I mean, and of course, you should always be careful. There's always the chance that this dog maybe is aggressive and you never want to risk getting bitten. But, trained professionals can do this and help try to evaluate. No one should go and, swing the door open of a kennel that automatically says aggressive dog, because you definitely don't want anyone getting hurt. But it's very well known that animals in shelters are very scared, and usually it's the smart ones that are scared.
Well, Debbie, what's that guy's name that's going to be staying in that shelter for, I think he's staying in there for 30 days and 30 nights in the shelter to show what those dogs see and hear?
Chris Rotunda. Yeah, Chris Rotunda.
That's him.
Yeah, Jordan's Way. He's on Facebook. He's got his own page and group. And check it out. He's going to be staying, 30 days? Oh, my goodness.
I believe it was
in what
30
shelter?
Days. In Florida.
Which municipality or county?
I can't remember.
I think it's Pasco County, isn't it? I can check
it
out. Humane Society of Pasco County.
You just have to send me if you have a Facebook page.
Yeah, I'd like to send it to you.
Yeah, send it to me. Wow.
He's going to show dogs here. I mean, you can't obviously show what they smell, but he's going to show what those animals go through once, the lights go out and everybody leaves and the barking and the noises and, I just feel so bad for those animals in there, and he's going to bring light to it so people can understand why maybe that dog is a little edgy, I'd be edgy too.
Yeah. If you go from sleeping on your family's couch to a cold concrete floor that's noisy and cold and scary, that animal's going to be scared.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely send me that link. I'd love to check that out. That's a great idea.
I sure will. Because he's already stayed in there. I think, what was it, a week or so, Ray? Or 3 days? Was the one on Dodo that did they got him on video, and it had over 8 million views. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Yeah,
and
he's a great.
Yeah, it's on there.
What a clever idea.
Most shelters won't, but I'm glad that he was able to get permission to do that.
Yeah, it's such a cool concept.
Well, I'm gonna step back. You've got a couple more minutes left, so
thank you so much for calling in. You're always a great team player, and thanks for everything that you're doing out there. And Watchdog Mary, looking forward to having you back on again.
It's
honor
good to
and
talk
a pleasure.
To both of you again.
Yes, and thanks for all you're doing. I got 60 seconds left, everyone. Thank you for everybody tuning in. Hope you tune in next Thursday at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Mountain, and 4 o'clock Pacific. Listening worldwide, unlimited listeners. All shows are recorded live and archived on Blog Talk Radio. Next week, we've got to welcome back Grace Hamlin of the Wonder Dogs, and we'll have another great show. So, everybody, thanks for tuning in. Ray, thank you for calling in again. And Watchdog Mary, keep up all the inspiring work you're doing. And I'll send you those links, okay, to Jordan's Way. But thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And may God bless you all. Good night.
Good night.
Good
night.
Speak to you both.
Watchdog Mary. Bye-bye, Ray. Have a good one.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. My pleasure. Always.